Every year, the NSH Symposium Convention features a wide array of science and research, including impressive poster programs. The poster floor is a petri dish of new ideas, collaborations, and exchange of great information. I'm Linda McDonald, an NSH member, a science lover, and the NSH poster chair. During the 42nd annual NSH Symposium Conference, we were fortunate enough to sit down with many of our poster presenters to talk more about their work and the passion behind it. I am thrilled to bring you this series of podcasts and hope you will enjoy these and be inspired to submit your very own poster.
Hi, this is Kathy Dwyer. I'm sitting with Caitlin
Telechea,
talking about her poster, P17, Pregnancy in the Histology Laboratory, a Review of Safety Considerations. Good morning, Caitlin. How are you?
Good morning. Well, thank you.
Good. Is this the first time you've presented a poster?
Yes.
It is. Okay. Well, what made you pick this certain topic for a poster?
I got pregnant.
Oh, very good. Very good. So how did you like the experience?
I thought it was really good. I honestly didn't really want to do it and put the work into it, but I feel like it's a topic that needed to be addressed, and I was doing it for myself anyway, and there's no reason for it not to be out there for everybody else, regardless of what kind of lab they're in, especially supervisors and other women who, like me, were trying to get pregnant. So
how long did it take you to develop your poster?
I only have been working on it since July. So, I didn't have a lot of time. So I really just kind of got the tip of the iceberg with this topic, honestly. I did as much as I could in the time I had for the literature review and reviewing the SDS, the safety data sheets for my lab, and also the OSHA permissible exposure limits was really what I focused on. And I focused specifically on being pregnant in the lab, not fertility or breastfeeding or those things, which still need to be reviewed and addressed.
What is the first thing that you want people that are here at the meeting to see when they look at your poster?
They need to see that the information that they are maybe using for their permissible exposure limits is acknowledged by OSHA as outdated and inadequate. And I think that's one of the biggest things that I learned looking at this. And it says it right on the OSHA website. So it needs to be done in your labs when you're doing your permissible exposure limits for your normal, healthy, average workers. And then it needs to be acknowledged that none of those limits are for women who are pregnant. There's been absolutely no information on those for the women who are pregnant in your lab while they're pregnant, while they're trying to get pregnant, while they're breastfeeding. None of this has been done.
So what size of a lab do you come from?
So I work in a very small clinical lab. We're gastroenterology. We actually have three labs. I work in one of them. So We get bigger and bigger every year, but we're a very, very small operation, but we're a very safe operation.
So when you were putting your poster together, did you have any surprises in your research besides what you just told me about no OSHA standards for pregnant women?
Absolutely. One of the biggest studies that I looked at came out in 2015 regarding formaldehyde and the placenta, and they actually used placentas from C-sections and from vaginal births, and they were able to prove that formaldehyde does cross the placental barrier. And this is brand new research. This is something that most people don't know. And when you're looking, let's say you Google pregnancy in the histology laboratory, you're going to get a lot of anecdotal evidence, and a lot of it's going to say, well, you don't have to worry about the formalin, hasn't been shown across the placental barrier, you'll be fine, just work in your fume hood. Well, the new research is showing that it's not fine, it does cross the placental barrier, and it's not out there yet, no one's acknowledging it. The safety data sheets are certainly not up to date and not acknowledging it, and it's a really big deal. And it's not just about laboratory workers, there are a lot of other industries that use formaldehyde. And this research, it can be expanded, but it also needs to be out there.
Did you use any of that information in your poster about the other industries out there?
I did not.
Okay. All right. If someone walks away from your poster, what 3 to 5 words should they think about?
safety considerations. I mean, that's it. It's all about creating a safe culture for, if you're a supervisor or a lab owner, putting those safety, creating that culture of safety before anybody gets pregnant in your lab. I knew I was trying, so, you know, I already knew kind of what I was doing, but that isn't always the case. Sometimes you don't find out until many weeks into your pregnancy when you've already hit this window of susceptibility for organ formation, which is when a lot of these chemicals will affect the pregnancy in these early, early stages, early, early weeks of the pregnancy. So if you've already created that culture of safety, then you're protecting your workers and you're protecting their pregnancies before they even know they're pregnant.
Did you find that your employer was able to make changes in the work environment that you're in?
Yes. For me, in my situation, they have made every accommodation that I have or my physician has requested. And a lot of times when it comes to a smaller lab like mine, where my supervisor is not a histologist, is not a laboratory person, our medical director is a gastroenterologist. So they really relied on me to tell them what needed to be done in the lab to protect my baby. And they relied on my physician to tell them what I didn't know or what she thought. And fortunately for me, my OB actually worked in an electron microscopy lab. So I have a very fortunate position to be in with my doctor actually having some background in what we do. So I really have a great support system and I feel very safe and protected in my lab, but that's not always the case. And I'll be able to go back to work safely also after I have the baby. And I know that that's a lot of times a concern too. Maybe their lab has made the safety accommodations they need while they're pregnant, but then they have a hard time rotating back into it. And that's just part of having a baby in the lab, and you can't let that kind of stuff scare you off. And the other thing I really learned is that a lot of women don't want to tell their supervisors that they're pregnant.
Really?
They don't want to burden the lab with these accommodations. They want to know, okay, random other histotech, what did you do? Because I really don't want to tell anybody yet. Well, your supervisor should be the first person you tell. Those accommodations should start the minute you know that you're pregnant. You can't be worried about burdening your supervisor or burdening your coworkers, because it's not about you or them anymore. It's about protecting your baby.
I find it interesting because 35 years ago, I was pregnant in the lab. We didn't even talk about it. I mean, that was something that was just not talked about, you know.
Right. And you read a lot of these stories that women tell of things that they do when they're pregnant because they think they have to. And that's not the culture we live in anymore. And they say, what does it take, a village? It takes a whole lab to protect that baby. And everybody should do their part. And if you have someone who's unwilling, I in my lab, we have a part-time tech who maybe not necessarily is unwilling, but unable to do some of the accommodations to help out. It's not that she doesn't want to. It's that she just can't. And so we found someone else to come in and do them. Is it her job to come into the lab and do this particular task? No. Is she willing to? Absolutely. It's temporary. And, you know, if it was her, she would want to protect her baby too. So, you know, you make accommodations, and you should.
Do you foresee yourself doing a follow-up project on this?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that, like I said, I just really barely have scratched the surface of this topic. And I think it's much broader than what I've done here. And I think that the research that's out there needs to be out there, that techs need to know, supervisors need to know, and that people that are doing research need to know where it's at and where they can take it further. It's a big, broad topic, and there's a lot that can be done, and it's going to be time-consuming, and it's going to be expensive, but it needs to be done. And I'd also really like to see some reform with OSHA and with the permissible exposure limits. And also including that in that the SDS is from the manufacturers. I was surprised to learn that when they switched from material safety data sheets to the safety data sheet, that in my lab anyway, almost none of them were actually updated. It was just the format that was updated.
Oh, okay.
And we only had one specific chemical in my lab that specifically said pregnant women should not use this chemical. That includes xylene and formaldehyde. Xylene has, in my, the one I have in my lab, xylene has no reproductive toxicity warnings, and formaldehyde just said may cause genetic defects in a hazard statement, not in the reproductive toxicity section. So there's a lot of reform that needs to be done as well. And, you know, I think a lot of times people, they read what they want to read, they hear what they want to hear. And so if you aren't putting it in front of them, they're not going to go and find it.
Okay. What are two to three major topics you would share with someone that is considering submitting a poster for next year's convention?
In regards to what I've already done or just in general?
In general.
I obviously have a passion for safety, so I would particularly like to see more safety topics. Okay. I think people do a really good job with these posters of you know, hard tissue. There's a lot of excellent research being done. I think I'd like to see some of it a little more specific to, I want to say, smaller scale, like I said, safety, maybe things that we're doing every day, you know, and I don't know what that would be, but there's a lot of research being done that is on the bigger, broader spectrum, and I'd like to see it maybe brought into smaller labs like mine, something that that maybe can affect, it's harder to say, but fewer people, or maybe the masses on a smaller level, because we've been doing, except for immunohistochemistry, we've been doing a lot of the same stuff for a long time. And, you know, maybe there's a better way to do something that we don't know about yet.
It's so good to hear that you're so passionate about the safety. I really commend you on that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Caitlin.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the 2016 NSH Poster Presenter Series. We hope you enjoyed this interview and will share it with others. Visit www.histoconvention.org to learn how you can present at 43rd NSH Symposium and Convention.